name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. From today's epistle reading, the letter to the Hebrews, chapter 13, verses 1 and 2. Let brotherly love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. What an incredible selection of readings today. Very difficult to find a common theme. And I thought I would choose the opening of our epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 13 today, because it's a very interesting couple of verses. It is generally considered this reference to hospitality and entertaining angels unawares refers to Genesis chapter 18 in the Old Testament. In Genesis 18, the great patriarch and founder of the Hebrew people was sitting by the oak tree at Mamre, and he was approached by three angels, though he did not realize who they were. In fact, Scripture says that it was the Lord who appeared, and so this is often referred to as the Old Testament Trinity. That is, in the guise of three angels, we see the God of Abraham, the great God who created the world, appearing personally. So it is, if you like, the first manifestation of the Trinity. And there's a marvellous icon depicting this event, which many of you may be familiar with, in which the three angels, these strangers, sit with the table prepared by Abraham. It was a significant event in the course of salvation history, for when they appeared, they told Abraham that Sarah, his wife, would have a son. Now, this was remarkable because both Abraham and Sarah were very old. In fact, the scripture quaintly states it had ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. In other words, she couldn't have children anymore. And so when she, back, I suppose, in the kitchen, heard the angels say to Abraham that she was to conceive, she laughed. And the Lord confronted her and she said, "No, I didn't laugh." The Lord was not impressed, of course. One shouldn't lie to the Lord. But the passage finishes up with this wonderful thing told to Abraham: "Is anything too hard for the Lord?" We, of course, know nothing is too hard for the Lord. And indeed, Sarah went on to give birth to a son, and so the Hebrew nation came into being, fulfilling God's promise to Abraham that through him the world would be blessed, that he would become a great nation, and his descendants as many as the stars of heaven. It seemed an impossibility to these two old people, but God's promise was fulfilled because, as the angel said, nothing is impossible to God. So in the context of this epistle to the Hebrews, it was addressed to Hebrews in Rome, we perhaps believe, or Palestine, so they would have been reading this and they knew exactly what the writer was talking about, this wonderful appearance to Abraham thousands of years before. And they would remember the message was that with God nothing was impossible, just as Mary learnt from another angel, the Archangel Gabriel himself, when she questioned how, as a teenage virgin, she became the mother of Christ. The angel said, "Nothing is impossible with God." My dear brothers and sisters, we are people who believe that nothing is impossible with God. This is a wonderful thing. But when we look at the rest of this passage today, we are left with some confusion. It doesn't follow from this recounting of Genesis 18 that we get some theology about Abraham and the chosen people, nor a dissertation about the Trinity or some teaching about it. But all we have is some practical advice to those Hebrew Christians about Christian living and behaviour. It's almost a letdown. And just to add to our perhaps confusion or disappointment, we find the very same thing in today's gospel. Last week we heard from the previous chapter, Luke chapter 13, in which Jesus described heaven as a great feast to which all were invited, a banquet. And in the book of Revelation it says that it describes heaven as the marriage feast of the Lamb. So what do we get today in the next chapter, chapter 14 of Luke? Nothing of great theology again like Hebrews, but it seems that Jesus is giving us some practical advice about behaviour at a wedding feast and a banquet. Don't take the place of honour, he says. Don't sit next to the rector. Sit next to the boat boy. Because if you take the lowest place, you may well hear the host say, "Come up higher, friend." Wonderful words indeed. The second story in this same passage is even more perhaps disappointing from the point of view of the great theology of last week. Jesus says to the host who prepares this dinner, "Don't invite your neighbours, your relations, your friends, especially don't invite your rich neighbours to impress them. Just invite the poor and the people you don't want to know." This seems an extraordinary finish to what Jesus is trying to tell us about feasts. But actually, these two stories do continue the message from Luke chapter 13. And the message is quite clear. Firstly, that God's embrace is wide and inclusive for everyone in the whole world. Everyone he created is invited to the feast of heaven. And secondly, to join the feast, to gain admission, requires a commitment to Christ and the Christian way. These are, if you like, the outworkings of both the epistle and the gospel today. And so it's a great joy that this morning we baptise two young members of our parish. For in fact, baptism is the door that opens that way to Christ, and it begins a process of walking with Jesus that finally ends up with him saying, "Friend, come up higher, come up to the feast." But if baptism is the beginning of a process which all of us go through for the rest of our lives till we get to the door of the feast and the door is opened, but what does actually baptism do for us apart from beginning something? Well, as one of the seven sacraments, indeed it is the first of the sacraments, and therefore the primary sacrament, as a sacrament it conveys grace which makes possible what baptism promises. Baptism promises us forgiveness of sin and eternal life with God forever in heaven. The grace of the sacrament makes that possible, that by receiving the grace of baptism, we begin that journey which leads to heaven and guarantees us forgiveness of sins. Doesn't mean we stop sinning, of course it doesn't. But in baptism, grace is literally poured upon us through the water so that we can walk with that grace in our daily lives. What a wonderful adventure Tanner and Nikki are starting today. And you see, this is the meaning of being reborn. You remember that Jesus had to explain about being reborn by water and the Spirit. And we know that's what happens, but it doesn't seem quite obvious. But that's what water symbolizes, birth, birth into Christ. And water also, of course, symbolizes washing, and at baptism all our sins were forgiven. And although it didn't make us perfect just yet, from that moment on, Jesus was our Lord, we belong to him, he was our Saviour, and is the one who redeems us. And therefore, when we do sin, we have our advocate, as the scripture says. And not only do we have our advocate, Jesus Christ, but we have the right and the privilege as brothers and sisters of Jesus to turn to him, to turn to Christ in repentance and have our sins forgiven and start again. And for most of us, that's a daily experience and process. It seems to me, when we think about baptism, the difference between Christians and those who do not believe in God, and perhaps even most other religions, is that we Christians know we are answerable to God. Those who don't believe in God, of course, can't possibly be answerable to Him, and so we know we have to answer to God, and that we also know that He is loving and merciful. And so acknowledging our sins and turning to God is a wonderful experience because He is so loving and so embracing. And it all begins in baptism, when we are made His sons and daughters and inheritors of the kingdom of heaven, as the prayer book says. And then, of course, we are set on the road to that great feast, when at the end of our life in this world, Jesus invites us through the door and says, "Friend, come up higher." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.